Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Divine Transmissions with Janet, a new episode from Living Astrology. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening up in the stars above. And this is a Monday. Yay! I can't believe the weekend went by so fast. It was a very rainy weekend, so I didn't really get to go out and do anything fun in the outside world, although I did go to a barbecue that was honoring my daughter's father-in-law who passed away a few weeks ago, and it was good to get together with people that I hadn't seen in a long time and to meet some people that I haven't met before, so it was an interesting weekend. You might have noticed I started my show off a little differently today. Did you notice that there was different graphics in the YouTube thumbnail, which is the picture that goes out to all of my advertising? And this is part of the rebranding that I'm doing, and it's in process. All I can say is it's in process. What I can say is that for YouTube and these broadcasts on Mondays and Fridays, they are now Divine Transmissions with Janet. Let me tell you why. Because often, as you know, I have a template I use, right? I get this whole thing and I get notes and I have all of this stuff that I prepare to speak, but then I don't use it. Very rarely during this period of time. I mean, I might refer back and make sure I didn't miss something or that there wasn't another point that I wanted to make. But often I have discovered, and this has been going on for a long time, this is not new, that it is something that just transmissions through me. It just comes through me. And I've also been doing a lot of work on my own human design. And one of the things that I discovered, and this is work that I want to do with all of you. I'm not quite ready to do it yet, but be watching because I will be doing this with you all. I already sent a teaser out to somebody earlier in the weekend. I want to be able to go through your human design in a way that pulls out the key words, if you will, or the key message that is yours. Right, for your sun, your Mercury, your Venus, for all the different planets that we will use in this. And the first thing that I realized is that the sun in my chart sits at the gate 12, which is about being a channel. And divine transmission was a distinctive phrase. I had it written on my calendar, which right now I don't know, my desk calendar. I had written it out here. Divine transmissions with Janet. But I didn't do anything about it. I mean, literally, I've had it there for months. And I finally pulled the trigger on it. And that is now what you're going to start seeing. I haven't yet decided if my entire business goes to Divine Transmissions with Janet. But certainly, you'll see I'll change my artwork here. And I'm not sure what I'll do with this Living Astrology piece. I haven't got all those answers yet. But just know that one of the things that I've discovered is that my job is to help you decode your human design, your astrology, your soul, your Akashic records through divine transmissions. So that has been a big, huge aha. I've been sitting on that for a couple of weeks, dying to tell you about it. But now is the right time to start to live this out loud. So divine transmissions with Janet, you'll start to see that more frequently in all that I do. That doesn't mean I'm not doing astrology, and it doesn't mean that I'm not doing human design. Those are the tools. Those are my tools. Altogether, what I am doing is bringing in information, downloading it, and giving it to you, transmitting it to you. That's my job. And then the other stuff, the tools, the astrology, human design, gene keys, Akashic records, manifesting blueprints, all of those other things that I do are just the tools, right? So if I were a carpenter, I might have a tool belt on it and I might have all of these different tools. So in Divine Transmissions with Janet, all of those things, all of the astrology that you're used to from me are my tools. So I'm excited about this transition that is coming up. So let me give you an outline of today's show. What am I going to be transmitting to all of you? Today, we're going to be talking about the moon in Capricorn. It moved into Capricorn yesterday, so we're already in the flow of this Capricorn energy. I want to talk a little bit about the gates that it is moving through in human design. The big news of the day, of course, Venus moving into Taurus. And I want to talk about that. And also tomorrow's Mars moving into Aries. It's interesting because now Earth feels like the cream filling between two very empowered planets. Venus moving into the sign of Taurus that she rules, Mars moving into the sign of Aries that he rules, and Earth right here in the middle. Feels really yummy to have that kind of energy bracketing, if you will, the Earth, and for us to be able to absorb some of this empowered energy over the next few weeks. So we'll talk about that. So Venus in Taurus, Mars in Aries, but also Venus in a square to Pluto. If we have a chance, I'll get that. On May 2nd, which is, can you believe this is going to be the first week in May? Thursday, Pluto will turn retrograde, the first outer planet of the year that's changing direction. And you'll want to know what that's going to be about. And this retrograde will take him from Aquarius, where he is right now, backward into Capricorn for one last hurrah in our lifetimes, that he will be finishing up that transit and not looking backwards anymore after this point, going forward into further into Aquarius energy. And right after Pluto turns retrograde, Mars moves into a sextile with Pluto. So this first week with this last couple of days of April and the first week or two of May are highly activated by Martian energies, by Mars. So I want to be able to take a look at all of that. This would be a great day to have your astrology chart in front of you so that you can follow along with the things that we're talking about. So today we're going to go back now and start. Well, let me say good morning to people before I go back into that. Hello, Narges. Good to see you. Tom says, enjoy your moan day, Astro family. I love it. Terry, good morning to you. Jacqueline, good morning. Christine Buckingham, hello. J-Lo, good to see you. Tom says, and you're having an awesome hair day. Anytime I have to blow dry it on a rush, right, it always seems to turn out really good. And when I try, it flops. Whatever, right? TD Hawk, good morning from the Catskills. Nice. And TJ, yes, great day. Jack kept the rain away. It was just kind of drippy, but it wasn't bad. Amanda J, good morning to you. And thank you, TJ. Hello, Joan Durchy. Good morning, Chester's mom. And Pam Zaruba, we haven't seen you in a while. It's good to have you with us. Finally back after 2 weeks of vertigo. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. That is one of those things that both of my older sisters have had. And it turns out there is an eye connection to them. You should talk, if this continues, Pam, you might talk about vestibular testing or vestibular something or another from an ophthalmologist that could help you to get away from vertigo. Good morning, Amy D. It is good to see you out there too. All right, so let's go back to what we were going to start with this morning, the moon in Capricorn. If you have your human design handy, the moon will be moving through the gates 38, 54, and 61 today. So jumping around from root energy where the gate 38 is, the gate 54 also on the root, but the gate 61 up in the head center. So we have both pressure centers, the head at the very top, the root at the very bottom, activated today by the moon. So that means you personally may be feeling pressure to answer questions like how, what, when, why, where, how, or can you prove it? Those kinds of questions that pressure us. And at the other end, the root center pressuring us to go out and do. It pushed those, first of all, the gate 38 pushes over to the spleen. That causes us to struggle right? That is the struggle for survival, to get our voices heard, to get our work out, to be seen in the outer world. And then when we're talking about the 54, that also pushes out to the spleen, but it's a different energy. It's an energy of ambition and drive. It's the push that takes us out on the various journeys throughout our lives, on the various pathways through our human design. And then the gate 61 is the gate of awe and wonder. It is a gate that sometimes we're asking the question why, but we can tap into the magic of the world around us in that particular gate. So the moon in Capricorn, even though it's known as a sign of emotional reserve, it's a sign that takes us into duty and responsibility, goals and ambitions. The 54 definitely is a goal and ambition kind of gate. But we don't often use the words magical with the words Capricorn. But I want you to understand there's some real magical realism that goes on with Capricorn energy. So let's take a little bit of a deeper look here. So the moon transiting through Capricorn is blending the emotion, the intuition, the inner resources of the moon with the expression of Capricorn, which is discipline and ambition and focus and drive, okay? So the first thing we have is this emotional reserve. Now, Capricorn is always interesting to me because they can be some of the most loving, enjoyable people on the planet. Because when they're operating in their highest and best, they're bringing in the opposite sign, Cancer's energies. And Cancer is nurturing and loving, emotional, intuitive. Nurturing is another great word that you could hold on to with that Cancer opposition point to the moon right now. So we have emotional reserve, meaning it's not a sign where we're wearing those emotions on our sleeve. That's more Cancer realm. But it doesn't mean that we're not feeling the feels, right? We're still having those feelings, but we're preferring to keep those feelings to ourselves, right? Not necessarily blasting them out to the world. And maybe we would share them, but only with people that we really trust in a very deep way. There is practicality and responsibility in this moon. It is ruled by Saturn. Capricorn, the sign, is ruled by the planet Saturn, representing duty and responsibility, form and structure. So the planet Saturn imbues Capricorn with some of those same traits. And one of those is our desire to deal with practical concerns of the day, right? The nuts and bolts energy of the day. But we might also want to focus our energies on achieving tangible results, right? We want to see the efforts come to fruition. So what does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like, right? What are we doing to make that happen? If you have yet to do this, and this is funny because sometimes I think about all the goals I want, achieving goals. But when I look at my manifesting blueprint, I'm a process-oriented person. I'm not outcome-oriented. And if you're not, understanding what I'm talking about, this is a part of the work I do in the Akashic Records, doing manifesting blueprints. You have a personal pathway to manifesting that is different from my pathway. In my pathway, it's all about the process of achieving something. Who do I become in the process? Not necessarily that goal at the end. So I always find it much harder to set goals. I have this picture in my mind of what it is I want to achieve, but to put that into words and into, you know, steps that I could check off wouldn't even work for me, even if I could do it. But for some of you, this particular transit of the moon might be about setting goals, about the actionable steps that you want to take. And they need to be practical, right? There's the practical work here. And they have to be goals that you can work steadily toward achieving. That's what the moon is driving us to. It's the time. It's the day. It's the energy of, all right? Emotional stability is another really good key phrase here. Emotional stability assumes that we know the difference between reaction, emotional reaction, and emotional response. Right? We talk about this quite frequently in human design, where the emotional center or the solar plexus, when it is defined, is broadcasting emotion. And when it is open, those people are taking in the energy, the vibration of the emotions that they are in impact or are impacted by. So the people they're around, the collective unconsciousness, etc. So while the moon is moving through this sign, we all have the ability to try to aim for emotional stability and to be able to endure through emotional upheavals without reaction, right? Responding. Reaction is when we are just knee-jerking, right? Or we just bleh. And a response is when we can take a deep breath first and then respond to whatever the stimulus is around us. Capricorn is a sign of work and business. So now we're putting the emotional stability and the emotional work of Capricorn, getting it into the businesses that we are running or into our work lives or into our outer expression of ourselves. And one of the main concerns of Capricorn energy is our reputations. What do you have a reputation for? It's really kind of associated with your public image. And Capricorn would be very concerned about how they look or about how this fits with them. So be conscious of how you're perceived with this Capricorn moon. And you might strive to maintain an image during this period of time, but make sure the image is the one that you're choosing and not an image that another person or another group or your family or something you thought you must be the dominant image. Make sure it's authentic. Capricorn is about the authentic image. And then we add some Saturn key phrases in here, like self-discipline, like control, like focus, like the ability to be disciplined, right? That disciplined approach to getting things done, to our emotions, to our behaviors, all of those kinds of things come up for these next couple days. And this is, again, we can go back to what is the moon reflecting to you about your long-term goals? What is it? What's the reflection? When you think about doing what it is that you want to do and whatever project you might be involved in or whatever creative pursuit that you are involved with, what is the reflection of it in the long term? Capricorn takes the long view, right? It might have a 5-year plan. It might have a 10-year plan. It might even have a lifetime plan. But what is the reflection from the moon? What's the moon showing you about this? And if we look at that through your human design gates in the gate 38, it may indicate to you what the struggles are. What is it that you're fighting for? And is it worth fighting for? Is it something that is in the end going to be so impactful that it's worth sticking with it until that point where it switches, right? From idea or possibility into actuality? And then is it a goal? Are you struggling and aimed at something that really wasn't even a goal? I find myself sometimes doing that. I'm like, why? Oh, why? Oh, why was I so into doing that when that wasn't even a goal? I didn't even want that, really. But somebody mentioned, or I thought it would be good for clients to have this or something. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, be authentic. And finally, in the 61 is, can you get outside in your mind? Can you get outside of the thought of it has to be this way? Right? Even though Capricorn does like to have the rigid, the boundaries, you don't have to get rigid and stuck. You can have the boundary. You can be aimed at magical realism. But is it something you're stuck to that isn't really yours, right? Can you see something more? What's possible? Maybe that's a good way to look at this. All right. So that's our moon transiting through Capricorn. In general, it's a time to focus on your responsibilities, on setting goals or taking the next step towards your goals, working towards success. Capricorn in the end is a sign of success, right? They make successful business people, successful healers, because they are willing to stay the test of time and do the work to get to where they want to go. All right. So let's see here. Any questions about any of that? Terry, good morning to you. Terry Lee Strauss. And J-Lo, is my Wi-Fi being weird? No, I think I see everybody just fine. Maybe I froze. I don't know. I don't remember freezing. So let's take a look at what else is next this week. So this is a big week because it's also the transition to a new month. So on Wednesday, May 1st, I will be here and on the show with Tam of the Energy Almanac as we take a look ahead at the month of May. And May is a big month. We thought April was a big month, but May is actually a pretty big month all on its own. And we'll sort of break down those ideas of May for you. The biggest one that I can think of right now is Jupiter moving out of Taurus, where he's been for the last year, and into the sign of Gemini. That should make Tom and I happy. Jupiter in our sign. For all of you Geminis, or wherever you have Gemini in your chart, that is where some very major focus is shifting in the month of May. So you'll want to hear more about that as time, as we go into May 1st, which will be on Wednesday. Got it? All right. So let's look now at Venus in Taurus. You know, to me, Venus moving into Taurus one day and Mars moving into Aries the next day is huge. Like, I don't know that that happens all that frequently. And even if it did, it would be like this very impressive time for us to get creative, for us to take action. Venus in Taurus is in a sign that she rules. This is her home, right? And the qualities of Venus are things in, especially in Taurus, are love and beauty, harmony, financial stability, the security that we have in our homes or in our foundations being set. And she's also clearly in the more sensual side of herself in Taurus, the five senses, right? So smell and taste and touch and seeing, all these, the five senses that we know so well are really heightened during this period of time. We might find ourselves wanting to be more tactile, needing to be more sensitive to the smells around us, to what we're hearing, right? We might not be able to stand hearing some of the more negative stuff out there in the world. We might really need to guard those senses because they're heightened for the next few weeks. And by the way, Venus is in Taurus from April 29th today until May 22nd. On May 23rd, she'll move on into the sign of Gemini. So we have, you know, pretty close to a month, maybe 3.5 weeks of this heightened sensual energy. But it also gives us a heightened appreciation for all of the things that are of a sensual nature. So we might find ourselves indulging in foods that we really love or in fabrics that feel good to us. Great time to get a soothing massage or do body work. Any of the sensory inputs that bring comfort and pleasure are what we can, that we can feel are heightened during this period of time. We also have a huge appreciation for beauty during this time. So get out into nature where the real beauty is, right? Particularly that natural world. It's where we find an affinity, where we find a comfort in the beautiful surroundings, whether that is the forest or a meadow or the rivers or the lakes or the ocean, wherever you are, get out into nature. It could be a piece of art that actually stimulates that for you, or a painting, something like that, that the simple elegance or the good craftsmanship of something is really heightened for you. There's also stability in our relationships. This is a key of Taurus energy. Taurus values stability, security, and building of that foundation in relationships. So we have something solid to build from that's lasting, right? So something that we might want to do here is to focus on building better relationships and nurturing those connections that you have with the people that you love, or even just friends, right? If they're part of your life and you feel like you want to nurture more of those connections, Venus in Taurus is a great time for that. We may also feel more inclined to value things like loyalty, commitment, reliability. Those things would be within our relationships. Taurus is also a sign of romance. Again, given the sensual nature, you know, it is the romancing energy. It's the expressing of affection through thoughtful gestures, perhaps, or through generosity. So like simple pleasures, such as, you know, making somebody a card and handing them that. My sister-in-law the other day made this beautiful butterfly pin to give to the spouse of my daughter's father-in-law that passed away. And it was just so beautiful, right? It's heartfelt love. And it can hold significant meaning to those people around you during this period of time. Taurus is also a sign of financial stability and material comfort. And when I'm talking finances, that could be the banking industry, that could be your own bank account. It could be stocks and those kinds of markets that, you know, from Bitcoin all the way through all of the different, you know, stocks and bonds and things like that, investments that you might make through the economy in general. And the focus might be, this might be a good time with Venus in Taurus to do a financial checkup. I was thinking of this the other day. I don't even know why it came up. But I was thinking about all the things that we spend money on these days that we don't really realize we're spending money on. I don't know about you, but you know how easy it is now to just set up, let's just say, let's go to entertainment business, right? You have all of these different choices from Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus, History Channel, Max, Netflix, all of those different things, right? And at various times, I know I'm guilty of this. I've gone on, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to watch that show. So I'll get HBO or Max now it's called, or I'll get something else. And then I forget to turn it off. So now I'm paying this monthly fee on all of these things. And when you add them up, it could, you know, get pricey. So this is a great time to do that financial checkup. Where might money be hemorrhaging, right? Where might you be, you know, not being your own best friend when it comes to managing your resources, including your time. Time is a resource. We also have groundedness and practicality. That is something that, because Taurus is an earth sign, it's known for this grounded practicality or practical nature. You may feel more grounded, more rooted in your values. Taurus, Venus, values. What are your values, and are you prioritizing living from those values, or are you just paying them lip service? Good questions, right? So we are likely with Venus and Taurus going to approach matters of the heart with a more steady, practical, grounded mindset, right? It's more about, you know, what can I really, what's the bang for my buck in this? What makes me feel good? What makes me help others to feel good? Right? It's a good transit. There is another side of this, though, that I feel like might be something we all need to take a look at, especially because the energy, the bigger energy template of the time that we're in is about transformation and change. And this particular transit of Venus and Taurus can also show us where we have become resistant to change, where we've dug our feet in. Taurus is a sign of stubborn determination. Have you ever tried to move a bull, right? First of all, I wouldn't get that close to a bull. Second of all, no, I have never tried to move a bull, but I get stubborn, determined, because that's how I am, right? I get into that. So we may be resistant to change during this period of time and work to maintain the status quo. And we're working so hard to maintain the status quo that we're exhausting ourselves if we would just sit back and relax and go, oh, let's let the change happen. we would be in a much better position, right? Then, and that can play out in our relationships, that can play out in our finances. So instead of sticking with what is safe and familiar, try to stretch a little bit for these next few weeks. Stretching in your relationships, in your finances, in your values, stretching into them, trying them on for size, and really living from that place, cultivating deeper connections with the ones you love, cultivating a deeper connection with yourself. And sometimes with Taurus energy, what we need is forgiveness. What we need to give out to others is forgiveness. What we need is to live in gratitude. Gratitude is a big word for Taurus. So Venus and Taurus, it's all about the gratitude, the love, the senses, the appreciation, the connection. It's all about love, right? Love in the physical world and how we express that in many different ways to one another. All right, any questions about that? To appreciate beauty, Tom says, I highly recommend looking in the mirror. It looks, works great for me. I love that. You know, that's such a good point, Tom, because how in the world can you appreciate beauty outside of you if you can't appreciate the beauty that's reflected from inside of you? Something that we need to look at. Chester's mom, yay, I am a Gemini sun and moon. I'm looking forward to this, this change. Good morning, Asa. TD Hawk says hers is buffering a lot today. I'm sorry if you guys are having trouble. I hope it's not coming from my end of things. It doesn't look like it, but it might be. All right, let's go on to the next because we have a lot still to talk about. Now that tomorrow, Mars, the planet of action, right? This is the warrior energy. The action planet moves into the sign of Aries, a sign of his own rulership, a sign of bold action, right? So this is, the you know, Mars only moves through a sign like this once every 2 years or so. That's how long it takes for him to move completely around the zodiac. So he spends between 6 and 8 weeks in a sign. And he hasn't been in Aries, his own rulership, for 2 years. So I've been looking forward to this. My midheaven is in Aries, right? That's my 10th house of career and profession. I've been really excited about Mars moving here and setting the stage for me to take action. He'll move across my midheaven, right? He'll move across that energy of doing in career and profession. So wherever he is, wherever you have Aries in your own natal chart, this is where Mars energy is going to stimulate some kind of movement or action in your life, right? So if you have, for example, Aries on your first house, it would be about personalized action. Like you might change your own point of view, the way you look, the way you talk to people, or the work that you do. There might be something very personal about it. If you had it, let's say, in your fourth house, maybe it's a time for a move. You're relocating or you're redecorating or you're having to deal with things of a foundational nature. So wherever Aries is in the chart, this is where the action pathway is opened up in a big way. Okay, so let's talk about what that looks like, because there's also this tendency of Mars toward burnout. Some of you, reflectors, projectors, manifestors, there's this potential with all of this Mars energy generating action for you to burn yourselves out. Generators and manifesting generators, you can burn out too. And the burnout for you typically comes from spending a lot of energy doing the things that are not really yours to take action on, right? Doing so many things. If you're a manifesting generator, that you're blowing out your energy. If you're a generator, getting stuck in a rut, going in the wrong direction, right? You can use up volumes of energy doing that if you are a generator type. So let's look at it from the astrological point of view now. There is definitely a sense of increased energy and increased motivation. Mars motivates us to move. And in Aries, it's intensified because it's the sign that he rules, right? So he is very empowered, just as Venus in Taurus was also very empowered, right? So we have two empowered planets on either side of Earth right now. We might feel a surge of motivation, energy, of enthusiasm and excitement that propels us to take the initiative, that propels us to move forward with our goals in a way that's really, you know, moving as opposed to staying stuck. Okay. Being assertive, being confident. Aries is a sign that's known for boldness and it's known for confidence, right? It is the I am presence. I am. The I am lives in Aries. And you all have Aries somewhere in your chart. You might not have planets in it. That's okay. Because now you have Mars in Aries, right? for the next few weeks. By the way, he is there from April 30th until June 8th. And then he also makes a move, but into Taurus, right? So you'll have the courage, perhaps, to speak up for yourself, to stand in your power, to take risks, to assert your independence. And when I say take risks, I don't mean like go jump off a cliff. I mean qualified risks, right? If you've never done something in your business, maybe it's a time to risk doing that. If you've never, you know, been the one to ask people to join you for lunch or dinner, it's time to take that. That might be your risk, right? So looking at where do you have to have the courage to speak up for yourself? We also are more impulsive, or we lean more to the impulsive and the restless during this period of time. Mars is wanting action. For those of you who are generators and manifesting generators, I think you're more comfortable with this because you're already having to move through a lot of energy in any given day. But some of you in the other types, this injection of energy can, you know, be so exciting and feel so good to you that you could be very tempted to keep going, keep doing, and even be more impulsive than some of the other, than the generators or manifesting generators. Like, I feel so good. I don't want to waste this energy. So what am I going to do? Just make sure you do it in the line of your authority and your strategy for whatever type that you are. And also stop before you take an impulsive action. Think of the consequences. What would the consequences be? Consider those. You might also experience restlessness and that desire for change that, you know, causes you to feel maybe like you're spinning your wheels a little bit. So the best thing to do when you're feeling that level of frustration, perhaps, or of that impulsive, I want to do something really bad, is to go and put it in something very useful. For example, maybe gardening or walking or bike riding or exercise of any kind, right? That maybe an exercise like yoga that blends the body movement, but also a meditative process. Somehow you need to be able to discharge energy during these next 6 weeks. There is competitiveness in the sign of Aries. There is competitiveness because of Mars as well. It's like the Aries spirit actually fuels the energy of competition. And leadership is a natural kind of outpicturing of this energy as well. Just remember competition. Who are you in a competition with and why? Ask yourself those questions, right? Some people who have, and about 7/8 of you, have an open heart center or will center in your human design. It's the little teeny tiny triangle that's just to the right of the identity center, which is the diamond in the center. And if it's colored in red, you have it defined. If it's white, no definition there. And 7/8 of you will have it with no definition, which means that you can get drawn in very easily to the competitive spirit on the planet. If you are part of a team that's working on something, you may find that you become more competitive than everybody else. So you want to watch this because the competition energy, while it's a good driver of taking initiative and getting, you know, new things done, and also a way of expressing your talents and your gifts, it can also cause you to do things that aren't correct for you. So we want to be careful with that. We'll have the drive to assert ourselves, but are we doing it in a way because we're competing with someone? Are you in an invisible competition with others? Think about that. Increased physical activity, I already talked about that's really good during this period of time to dispel some of this energy. The last thing you want to do is be sedentary during these next few weeks. Get up off your butt and go for a walk, go for a run, go for a do something. Sports, exercise, outdoor activities, all of those things satisfy that need for physical activity. Also watch for yourself and others to have a quick temper or to be more impatient with you or them, you to have more impatience with them. This is fiery energy, right? Mars, a fire planet, Aries, a fire sign, and it's impulsive and it's fiery and it's wanting expression. And sometimes that means it can come out in a way that is a quick temper or confrontational, right? So we want to be careful with that. We can be more irritable. Others around us could be more irritable and prone to anger during the transit. And especially if you encounter obstacles on your path, right? If you encounter a delay in your plans, like if you've got this full head of steam and you're moving forward and suddenly, boom, you run into something, that can be very irritating for us. So we just have to remember, sometimes the best course of action is to stop, to integrate, to rest, right? And rest is what might be hard to come by over these next few weeks. So you're going to have to be more consciously willing to rest, right? It is a good time, though, for Mars in Aries to initiate projects. It's a good time for a new beginning. It is very equivalent to that spring equinox window that we just went through, where it is a time to take new action, taking decisive action, not just like waffling around, but taking action. And it might be a time to launch innovative initiatives, to assert yourself in the world in a new way. Anything where you've been holding yourself back, let go of that and put yourself out there. This is a sign of courage, right? This is the influence of Mars and Aries encourages us to be brave, right? To be bold, to dare to do the things that we've always wanted to do, but we held ourselves back from. Taking risks, right? But be careful in the risk taking as well. Confidently assert yourself into something, but also know where you might be pushing too far, too fast, or inappropriately, or in the wrong direction, right? We're going to have to be careful. So just know this is a time we're going to have this increased energy. We're going to feel increased assertiveness and confidence, and we will thrive when we take action. Just make sure you know what your strategy is for your type and that you know what your authority is in your human design so that you are taking appropriate action for you, right? Questions about any of that? I can't see what that says. Terry Hickox, you mean thawed? What are you guys talking about? Unfrozen. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, TD Hawk. I don't have the Aries planets in my chart, but Aries house is second house, and that house holds Chiron and Pisces. Okay. Wait, second house is Aries or second house is Pisces? Because they can't, are you talking Placidus where it splits the houses maybe? Because what I would look at is the whole sign expression. So everything that's in Aries would have energy in that second house, TD, which would be the house of money, resources, value, self-worth. So those things would be what, if Mars is in Aries, that you would be focusing on actually making money or somehow building resources or building on your self-worth, right? Those are the actions that would be in your field there. All right. Now, on Wednesday as well, Venus in Taurus will come into a square, which is a challenge, with Pluto in Aquarius. So now you have the planet of values and resources, of money, of relationships coming into an obstacle or a challenge with the planet Pluto in Aquarius, where this is about transformation toward new technology or innovative solutions, being unique, being, you know, true to yourself. And at this point, then there can be this intensity in your relationships, as maybe you're trying to, you know, assert yourself in new ways. Maybe you're trying to transform a situation in your relationships, especially in power dynamics in relationships, because Pluto represents power and the power of transformation, while Venus is really representing those relationships. So I would imagine control issues, deep-seated desires, confronting issues around possessiveness or jealousy or power dynamics like manipulation coming up in our world, in our lives, in our relationships, and having to work through those things to transform them. It's not about punishing, it's about transforming. And then we may find that we're struggling with issues around intimacy or trust. Maybe somebody has violated your trust in your relationship, and now they're asking for you to trust, or you're being asked to trust. And it may be a difficult issue because there could be old tapes that are running in the subconscious mind, and that's being brought to the surface during this transit. So we might all find ourselves having to address any of the underlying emotions, causes that are preventing us from living out the best in our relationships. There's also a desire for depth and going into the depth of our relationships, maybe even with the relationship that we have with ourselves, with our values. We might have an opportunity during this time to reevaluate ourselves and what is it that is important to us. Power struggles, control issues always come up when we have a square with Pluto that's playing out the power dynamics in your relationships here. There can also be sort of financial considerations here, because let's talk about that for a second, because Taurus is a sign of money. Venus is in Taurus. Venus is a planet that rules the self-worth that you have to attract the resources to you that you need to live the life you want to lead. Pluto, the name, comes from the word that means wealth, right? When we talk about a plutocracy or a Plutarch, we're talking about a wealth person, somebody that's very wealthy, or we're talking about wealth in general terms. So now we have this association with wealth and with resources coming together, but in somewhat of a scritchy manner, right? They're kind of obstacles to one another here. There could be tensions then surrounding your finances. And that might be a power dynamic between you and another person in your life that's either controlling the purse strings or where you want to control the purse strings, that kind of thing. So issues of control over money or shared resources could definitely come up to the surface with Venus in that square to Pluto. And of course, Pluto can be very compulsive. And the compulsion here is to change or to transform. And it's driving us actually to seek change and transformation. And wherever Pluto touches, we get into this need for transforming something, right? When Pluto first moved into Capricorn, what we saw was all of our major institutions falling, right? The economy, the banking system, right? The mortgage system, all of these things started one by one. Oh, totally forgot to plug my computer in. There we go. All of those big systems and institutions that we are a part of began this process of transformation, breaking, right? Any place that wasn't sustainable was exposed and fell, could no longer be. Well, now we have Pluto in Aquarius and we're looking at the future. So anything that is not sustainable for the future has to be innovated, has to be changed, right? So this power, change, especially in financial, the economy, all of these things have to be dealt with. So while Venus is more of a personal planet, Pluto is more of the collective planet. So we have both being activated at this time. And overall, the square can be challenging, especially one that like this, that forces us to look at all of the control issues of power, transformation, all of those kinds of things. Be willing to look at it, be willing to move through it, and it should be fine. But when you resist and you backpedal, right, that is where the problem comes in, because what you resist persists, right? So we'll see these, you know, big issues coming up time and time again over these next few years about how are we going to move forward? How do we take humanity from where we are to the next level, given the population, given the resources that we're using up, given the need for new resources, all of that coming to the surface and a whole lot more. But I'm done talking with that one now. Now, let's go back to Pluto. We are doing so well talking about Pluto. He turns retrograde this week. So the first planet other than Mercury, the first outer planet to go retrograde. And for the short time between today and Thursday, or May 3rd, which will be on Friday, excuse me, we have all of the planets back to forward motion, right? This one, though, is going to be changing to retrograde on May 3rd and will be in retrograde until October 11th. And that is from 2 Aquarius, where he is right now, moving backward to 29 Capricorn. Sorry, Tom, sitting right on top of your Saturn. And that will be the last time that Pluto moves backward into the sign of Capricorn. We'll be done with that Capricorn transit. Now, when a planet changes to retrograde, it moves the energy from the outer expression to the inner expression. So it'll become integration energy. It'll become inner dynamics. It will be preparing on the inside for the eventual changes on the outside, right? That is what the retrograde does. It takes us sometimes backwards, in a, you know, on a trip backwards in order to really see what's worth bringing into the into the future, in the case of Aquarius. What's worth leaving in the past, right? What can we no longer consider a value as we go forward? So on the personal level, this can be a time over the next few months of intense inner transformation. You transforming your, through introspection, transforming your ideas, your beliefs, your subconscious patterns, uncovering hidden motivations that you have for doing what you've been doing. It's a powerful time for self-analysis when Pluto is in that retrograde motion. And I bet a lot of you also have Pluto retrograde in your natal chart. So this is a natural tendency that you have anyway. This will just amplify that, right? You'll be doing a lot of inner work. This is a reevaluation time of social structures, but also anything to do with society, with technology and innovation. So we're rebuilding, reevaluating. What is it that we need to change? And that, you know, what is it we need to let go of? What isn't working? We might have a collective reassessment of those societal norms or those power structures and how we deal with those power structures, systems of authority. All of those things come under a reevaluation period, and we begin to question them, right? We're questioning the existing social hierarchies, right? How it is that we organize people, seeking alternative ways of organizing and governing society. We see it all the time out here in the world, right? That, you know, Pluto in Aquarius often rules those marginalized groups. So we might be talking about immigrants, for example, smaller percentage of the population that seems marginalized, that we don't want to really give full access to our country or to our resources. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying marginalized peoples, people of color, women, different religions, All anybody that is in a marginalized situation comes into power while Pluto is in Aquarius. Think about the time, you know, of the Revolutionary War. What was it? The anger was that, you know, we wanted our own control over our destiny. We didn't want to be beholden to a king, you know, 4,000 miles across the ocean. Same thing now, right? We're looking at, well, what don't we want to hang on to anymore? And then in that process, we uncover hidden truths during Pluto retrograde. And it's like the light gets shined in the darkest places, which means that likely in the outer world, we see some of the ugliest of ugly because the light's been turned on, right? We see the ugly impact of immigration gone wild. We see the ugly impact of what happens if you're a Black man in America. We see the ugly side of fill in the blank, right? Because the light is turned on. It's not that things are getting worse, although that may be how we sense it. It's that the light is on and we see it. We're willing to go there and look at the revelations that we're seeing. And we challenge the status quo at this point. The whole deal of Pluto retrograde in Aquarius is about challenging the status quo. It's rebellious energy. It's ruled by Uranus. So now we're plugging Uranus and Pluto in together, transforming through rebellion, transforming through revolution, right? It's a progressive nature. So we're wanting to move ahead. And the only way we can move ahead is to really evaluate where we've been, take the best from the past and move it to the future to create a very empowered now. So we might be pushing for things like social reform. You might hear more of that going on in the outer world. Individuals and groups may be advocating for greater equality, greater freedom, for social justice. These are all themes that are Aquarian and Pluto in Aquarius, applying that energy. But remember, he's retrograding back to Capricorn. That won't happen until the fall. But when he gets back to Capricorn, we will have to deal with the lasting effects of the institutional changes that we need to make. Maybe in the US, it's the Supreme Court. Maybe it's about the Electoral College. I don't know about you guys in other countries, but look at your systems that are in change, right? Is it the very monarchy, perhaps, in countries like England and Denmark and Spain that still have monarchies, and other nations too, but the nature of civilization or society is changing. There's also the potential for much healing here, though, right? Because we're looking at the shadow. We can come to peace with the shadows and we can integrate those shadows into a sense of healed, whole, and healthy, right? We might be very resistant to authority during this period of time. There's a sort of spirit of defiance, let's call it, that is triggered during this period of time. Pluto in retrograde brings that up, but also now Pluto retrograde in Aquarius could see the blowback against all of the institutions, right, that we carry. And there's many institutions. You could call policing an institution. You call the government an institution, the medical world, the education world, on and on. We have tons of different bureaucracies and systems and institutions that we might be seeing get battered by Pluto in retrograde, okay? But we're willing to challenge the old in order to make way for the better, for the new, right? Don't minimize technology or scientific advancements during this time, even though, you know, Aquarius is associated with innovation and with technology. So during Pluto's retrograde here, we might find significant advancements that are being brought to our attention, right? That maybe advancements that have already been tried and tested, but that aren't widely known yet. But during the retrograde, it's possible that they come out. And ultimately, there is a collective evolution that is occurring from the inside out during this period of time. from the inside out because it's retrograde. So we have to change in order to see the kind of world on the outside that we want to see. All right. Wednesday, again, is my time with Tam here at 8 o'clock Pacific time, where we'll talk about May and all of the things to be watchful for in May. And let's draw, I want to draw an animal card today for us for the week ahead. I will also be on Friday as well. So get three divine transmissions with Janet this week. Awesome. A lot of talking for me this week. So let's see what animal gets us through. Ooh, that one. Wombat spirit. Wombat says, be at home. It is card number 68, which is a 14, which is a 5. So wombat. I've never seen a wombat. I don't believe I've seen a wombat. I don't even know where wombats live. Does anybody know where wombats live? They might be a different continent than America's. Okay, burrowing deep into the ground, remaining safe, sound, and well-fed with family is a special trait of the wombat. Home sweet home is always available if you recognize that well-being is the truth of life. Wombat spirit reminds you that to be truly at home in the world, you need to find comfort within your own skin. You do this by accepting all your experience without judgment through a deep honesty and love of life. When you feel the freedom to be yourself, you can begin to truly feel at home in your life with your family and tribe. Right now, you're in a beautiful place where you can hang up the coat of your identity and settle into a true sense of home and well-being, understanding that all is well. Everything you do from this place rings true in harmony with spirit. I love it. Wombat. Wombats, Australia. We had wombat when you first got this deck. Oh, good memory, Tom. I don't remember that. Anyway, they are kind of cute. But they don't live here, so that's why I would never have seen them. Australia, they look like a beaver and bear mix. Awesome. Be at home. Sounds very Taurus, right? Very sun in Taurus, very Venus moving into Taurus. So that is it for me today. Thank you for joining me. And if you have any questions, you know where to find me, www.living-astrology.com. You can also sign up for a human design reading if all of that conversation went over your head. And that's it for me today, guys. Take care. Much love. Bye for now. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.